ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। तम दुर्घृताम सुगतरूपम् कामिनाम शनशौरुतम् इंद्रियारामम् उत्सर्ज्या स्वामिनां दुःखितायाययुः तं दुर्हृतां सुगतरूपं कामिनां शनशौरुतम् इन्द्रियारामम् उत्सर्ज्या स्वामिनां दुःखितायाययुः तं दुर्हृतां सुगतरूपं कामिनां शनशौरुतम् इन्द्रियारामम् उत्सर्ज्या स्वामिनां दुःखितायाययुः। Him, the he-goat, Durhrutam, cruel-hearted, Sugartrupam, pretending to be a friend, Kaminam, very lusty, Shanashugrutam, having friendship for the time being, Indriya-aramam, interested only in sense gratification or sensuality. Utsarjya, giving up. Swaminam, to our present husband or to the former maintainer. Dukkita, being very much aggrieved. Yayayu, she left. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was odd-hearted, and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. We will also read the translation of other two verses. When the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was odd-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Swaminam is significant. Swami means caretaker or master. Devayani was cared by Sukracharya before her marriage, and after her marriage she was cared by Yayati. But here the word Swaminam indicates that Devayani left the protection of her husband Yayati and returned to her former protector Sukracharya. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman stay under the protection of a man. During childhood, she should be cared for by her father, in youth by her husband, and in old age by a grown son. In any stage of life, a woman should not have independence. Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tatati Shvapatantikam Ye Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushrute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Sindhupaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam. Beautiful set of like verses. First of all, my apologies for coming late to the class. So there are a couple of important points here. The first point is how in this particular verse we read, like text 8, it is mentioned that women need to be given protection. So that is like one point. And also we see that how whenever one is engaged in any kind of like material sense gratification activities, it is going to be only leading to misery. There are also like other points, but we will not like really go into those. Maybe like we will try to like connect them with these two points. So the first point is how in Vedic culture different living entities are protected. Here, like, you know, specifically we are talking about women. It is the responsibility of the father, husband, or like grown-up children to protect, like, you know, like woman, there is, like, you know, like specific reasons which are mentioned in the Shastras. And we will also see that though in this particular case we are talking about woman, it is not just like limited to like woman. It is like, you know, for all of us. All of us need protection. So that is a side point I would like to like make, but rather that is the main point from practical application. Women by nature, they have very soft heart. By nature they have like very, very soft heart. And men by nature, they are very unscrupulous. So they try to exploit women in whatever way like possible. So it is very easy to exploit like woman because of their like very soft ordered nature. So that is the reason why in Vedic scriptures it says that we need to protect woman. But whenever somebody like reads this, they can get a totally opposite point. When the last line, Srila Prabhupada writes, in any stage of life, a woman should not have independence. Then if somebody like, you know, reads this, they're like, what is this? Maybe like, you know, if we are going to be talking to a feminist or somebody, they'll think that you guys are crazy. But all these are there to protect woman. So when, like for example, in Shastras, it is mentioned that children, those who are elderly, and women, brahmanas, and cows, these five entities, they have to be protected. So without protection of these five entities, there is not going to be any like progress in the society. Everything is going to be doomed. In the fourth canto, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that how even when women, children and elderly, if they commit a sin, still they cannot be punished severely, or they cannot be punished, or if the sin is very heinous, so they need to be punished, but they cannot be punished severely. There Srila Prabhupada writes, if somebody is not following that, then their lifetime is going to be diminished significantly. So one is going to die like, you know, very soon if they are not going to be adhering to these Vedic principles. That's why like, you know, a lot of the rules and regulations, like, you know, even if a children, like, you know, some children are going to commit some sinful like act, they are not punished like very severely. Same thing with like, you know, like women and elderly. So the judge or whoever is going to make the determination, they will be a little bit more lenient because of their nature, especially like, you know, like with children and like elderly, like often they cannot really discriminate things properly. And scriptures also say, give the same point like about women. Like often it is difficult for them to discriminate. Again, it is because of their soft-heartedness. Because they are like very soft at heart. So like often they think that everything is like fine. So because of this reason, Vedic scriptures, they provide the injunction that we need to like protect women and also like other living entities which we discussed. So here we have like, you know, 9 men and like 1 Mataji. So I don't want like, you know, 9 men to think, oh, the entire class is for like, you know, like Mataji, because all of us are Prakriti by nature, right? Only enjoyer, only Purusha is Krishna. So all of us are Prakriti. So in a sense, this is like, you know, like applicable to each and every one of us. Unless we are under the right protection, we are going to be misled. We are going to be abused. If we are not going to be taking the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master or other like senior devotees, we are going to be abused by Maya Devi. We are going to be abused. So though, like, you know, from externally it looks like, okay, this particular verse is talking about like woman, yeah, like woman needs protection, that and this, so it is not like applicable to me, like, you know, often we think like that, but this is applicable to each and every one of us. The main point here is that we need to take shelter of some higher authority. Why taking shelter of a higher authority is like important? Only when we take shelter of higher authority, we will be accountable. So without accountability, there is no progress is going to be made. We cannot make any progress without being accountable to somebody. That's why the systems, like, you know, writing reports, like, you know, weekly reports or monthly reports or whatever it is, to someone who is superior and detailing what kind of activities one was engaged in is very, very important. So without that, it is very easy for us to get sidetracked. It is very easy for us to be sidetracked. If you look at like ISKCON as a, like, in a larger society, even the GBCs, sannyasis, all of them, they have a system of, like, you know, like accountability. They need to write reports, like every year or every quarter or something like that. They need to write reports about what they did, where they traveled, how much money they spent, how much donation they got, how they utilized it, how many new devotees they, like, you know, created, like that. Without that, the tendency is, like, you know, in Kali Yuga, we are by nature lackadaisical. We take it so easy. Yeah, sure. I know that material, like, you know, this life is short. I need to be very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. Like that, we might be thinking. But often, if there is a particular activity we are asked to do, then we will be almost always saying that I'm going to do it tomorrow. And when the tomorrow comes, again we will say, like, tomorrow I will do, tomorrow I will do. So it is going to be like, you know, keep on, like, you know, postponing tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. But when there is a system of like accountability, then we are obligated to make sure that we are going to be rendering whatever we are services we are like asked to render. So that is why it is really like important. And another reason why we need to take shelter of a higher authority, because especially when we are in our neophyte stage, it is very difficult for us to discriminate. Even things which seemingly looks like a devotional activity might not be really devotional activity. So externally it might look as if we are rendering the best devotional service possible, but actually it is going to be a disservice. Like, for example, like, you know, when we go out and preach to somebody, if we don't really understand what is the real reason or the mood with which we have to preach, then we can, by our preaching, we can move the person away from Krishna. We might be, like, you know, preaching about so many different things which that person is not ready to hear. If that person is not ready to hear, whatever we are speaking is from the scriptures. If we are not discriminating based on time, place, circumstance and that person, then we are going to be talking about scriptures, talking about Krishna, but that is going to make that person commit an offense against Krishna and offense against the devotees, now we are actually doing the disservice. Instead of preaching, we are doing like anti-preaching in an essence. What is the main essence of preaching? We want a particular person to come closer to Krishna. By our so-called preaching, if we even talk about scriptures, if they are going to be offending the devotees and offending Krishna, they are going to be moving away from Krishna. So if without our preaching, their chance of getting, like, you know, taking up to Krishna consciousness is much higher. But us intervening, thinking that, like, you know, I am so magnanimous, I am going to be preaching to, like, you know, each and every person, and if we are not mature, we are going to be doing the disservice. So all these things we will not understand. At a neophyte stage, we think that, oh, what is this? Srila Prabhupada said, I need to preach. I am going to go and preach to whoever I am going to, like, you know, meet. So that is true. Like, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, like, you know, whoever you meet, preach. But we need to understand how to preach. What is the proper method to preach? We cannot just, like, you know, go and jump and talk about something which we read and heard without knowing what is the level of understanding and level of maturity of the other person. So that is why taking shelter of higher authority is going to be very important, because this higher authority is going to help us in discriminating. So that is why this protection is very, very important. For all of us, as practicing devotees, the main lesson from this particular, like, verse is that we need to take shelter of someone who is a higher authority for the purposes of being accountable, and also for making sure that we get proper guidance. So that is one point. And the second point I wanted to make is that how here we can see that when the she-goat had fallen into the well and saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. So that is the translation of the previous, like, verse. Here we can see that how material desires by nature, they can never be satisfied. Like, you know, material desires by nature can never be satisfied. Here we can see that Maharaj Yayati, he was engaged in so many different, like, material, like, activities, lot of sense gratification, like, activities he was, like, engaged in, but he was not satisfied. Now he was doing the same thing with, like, others, like, you know, getting involved in so many, like, sense gratification program. So that is the nature of sense gratification. So it is not going to be satisfied. We'll be keep on expanding more and more and more and more. So there is no end to sense gratification. So one might justify, like, you know, often people say that, oh, everything in moderation is good and that and this and whatnot. Or if, like, I will be involved in sense gratification and then after that I am going to be disgusted by sense gratification, then I am going to become a nice devotee. That thing never happens. Unless, like, you know, like, we have the mercy of the devotees or Krishna, it is going to never happen. It is going to take one, like, you know, like, deeper and deeper into the well, so that, like, you know, one cannot, like, you know, escape. The chance of escaping is going to become slimmer and slimmer and slimmer and slimmer, because by nature sense gratification never be satisfied. That's what, like, we see here, how though he was getting himself engaged in so many different, like, unlimited amount of sense gratification, there was no end to it. He was expanding his program more and more. And what was the result? Result was misery. Sense gratification, though seemingly for a short time, that it is going to give some pleasure, but it is going to only result in misery. So here we can see on text 9 translation, it says, being very sorry, the he-goat was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road, and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. Because he offended his wife, he was trying to pacify her. And he was feeling so sorry and so bad and trying to pacify her, and she was upset, he was upset, and both of them are totally frustrated. So that is the end result of sense gratification program. It is going to eventually result in frustration. And whenever one is frustrated, they are going to become angry. And whenever they are going to become angry, the sense of discrimination is going to be lost. And they are going to be getting themselves involved in so many activities which might be very abominable. So yeah, often, like, you know, we hear, like, husband and wife, they got into fight, or somebody got so upset that one person killed another person or did something so bad. Because whenever somebody is angry, they cannot, like, you know, discriminate properly. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. So within that particular, like, instance, by some impulse, they will do some, like, in, like, action that they are going to be regretting for rest of their lives. So right now we are in the 9th canto. If you recall, like, you know, like, so many, in all the previous cantos, we looked at so many different pastimes of different personalities. This point is coming, like, you know, like, again and again and again. How, like, you know, like, within a fraction of a second, somebody is committing a sinful act and they are regretting that for the rest of their life. And how, by sense gratification, like, you know, like, one is degrading themselves. Like, you know, they are at a very, like, high level spiritual position, and because of the attachment to sense gratification, or within a split second, they fall down, and it is, like, very difficult for them to, like, you know, situated again in their, like, you know, like, original spiritual, like, position. So these are, like, you know, really, like, and, like, important for us to, like, understand. And, like, another point which we can learn from here is that how nothing is going to be perfect in material world. Nothing is going to be perfect in, like, material world. So here, like, you know, Maharaj Ayati and Devyani, they were thinking that, oh, like, you know, everything is going nicely. We are, like, you know, engaged in all our sense gratification program for 1,000 years. Like, you know, like, we were, like, engaged in so many different activities. We got so much pleasure. Everything is going to be, like, going so smoothly. That was their, like, you know, like, understanding. But we can see that how within a split second, things can, like, you know, turn upside down. Because material world by nature is temporary. Everything material is temporary. So we might be, like, you know, thinking that we are having pleasure, but that pleasure is going to result in some misery eventually. It is just a matter of time. It is not that maybe it will lead to misery. It is not like that. It will definitely lead to misery. It is just a matter of time. For somebody, it is going to lead to misery within a fraction of a second. For someone else, it might take few years or few lifetimes. So in this connection, there is in Ramayan, anyways, I just want to end with a little, like, funny note. How it is going to be, like, very difficult to satisfy somebody. Because here, like, we can see that how both Devyani and Maharaj Jayati, both of them are not, like, satisfied. So this happened to Mother Sita also. Like, you know, Mother Sita and Lord Ramachandra. So in Ramayan, when Lord Ramachandra was, like, you know, this pastime is mentioned in Ramayan, when Lord Ramachandra was banished to the, like, forest, he was going through the forest with Mother Sita and Lakshman. Lord Ramachandra was carrying his bows, like, you know, like bow and arrows, but he was not, like, you know, using them, because the Lord by nature is so merciful. He was not, like, you know, using all, like, you know, his arrows and bow. And Mother Sita was keep on, like, you know, like, observing this, because so many incidences happen. So we will not, like, you know, go through those incidences in the interest of time. So many incidences happened during a particular time. And Lord Ramachandra, he never used his bow and arrows. Then Mother Sita told Lord Ramachandra sarcastically, "My dear Lord, are you carrying your bow and arrows as an, like, you know, like, ornament? Is it for decoration? Because it looks nice on you, that's why you are carrying it. Are you ever going to use it? Or you are just, like, you know, using it for decorative purposes?" Like that she was sarcastically telling Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra did not say anything. He just kept quiet. So when they reached Panchavati, like, you know, after the incidents with Surpanaka, so many Rakshas are coming to, like, attack Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman. Then Lord Lakshman, he jumps. He sees two, like, you know, demons. They came with 14,000 Rakshasas total. And Lord Lakshman, he tells Lord Ramachandra, "My dear Lord, these are tiny demons. I can take care of them. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not going to be befitting you that you go and fight with, like, you know, little demons. I will take care of all these little demons. You go inside the hut and take rest." And Lord Ramachandra said, No, Lakshman, I need to fight with them." Then again, Lakshman said, No, my dear Lord, they are so tiny. I can, like, you know, finish them just like that. Why you are straining yourself? Because it is not going to be befitting you. You need to fight with somebody who is equal to you, not, like, you know, some tiny demons. You are not going to be, like, very glorious if you are going to be just defeating all these tiny demons. I will, like, you know, I am your servant. I will kill them." Then Lord Ramachandra said to Lakshman, "My dear Lakshman, this is my family affair. I need to make sure that I am going to make Mother Sita understand that I can use my bows and arrows." He did not tell all those. He said, "Lakshman, it is family affair. I don't want to get into the details. I want to fight with these demons. I want to defeat them." And then within, like, less than an hour, he killed all those 14,000 demons single-handedly. Then Mother Sita came running from, like, you know, inside the hut with a garland, and she was praising Lord Ramachandra. "Wow, like, you know, you are so wonderful. Single-handedly you killed all this, like, 14,000 demons. But I am very happy that you did not show all this prowess in front of my father. If you did this in front of my father, he might have, in addition to getting myself, like, married to you, my father might have married you, like, you know, like, all other, like, you know, like, my siblings and, like, you know, like, everybody, like, as well. I'm glad that that did not happen." So, like this, we can see that even in, of course, this is for Lord, it is a pastime. So, the main point I wanted to make is that nothing is going to be perfect. We will always get somebody like, you know, getting upset with us or saying that, you know, whatever we did is not up to par. Because material world by nature is going to be, like, you know, it is imperfect. So people are going to be criticizing us, are going to be like upset with us. So we need to take that as the nature of the world and not like, you know, like get like agitated, because we are not going to be able to please the other person. Here we can see that how the, like, you know, the he-goat was following the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. So it is not going to be easy to pacify somebody who is materially inclined. So that is like another like instruction we can learn from these set of verses. Again, like, you know, there are like more things we can learn from this set of verses. We will not go into those. So I think, like, you know, 3 or 4 is like sufficient. So we will stop here and see whether there are any questions or comments or corrections, or you want to like add anything additional.
So Namruchi Prabhu, you were highlighting something of the danger of not knowing the mentality of the person that one may be speaking to. So even if it's all scripturally sound. So in essence, you were pointing out there's a danger with that kind of activity. So because you're taking the position of having some insight into this, I'm going to pose the question to you. So indeed, if that's the case and a person is blinded by their necessity to spout scriptural references, scriptural direction, but it's not in accord with the mentality of the person that's been dealt with, or the person, just because you use the word, a kind of neophyte mentality, there may not be insight into the person that's been dealt with. So, you know, obviously there's a disconnect in that case. And so the question is, and I'm posing this to you because you have brought up this insight. The question is, how does one rein in such a person to, if one is observing, let's say, this disconnect, and with all the good intention, but not having insight into the mentality of a person? So how does one rein in a person who's at the mercy of their enthusiasm?
Thank you, Mataji. Difficult question. So whenever we give corrections to any devotees, we need to be very, very careful. Though intentions are very important, at the same time we want to make sure that the other person is going to take it in the proper mood. Otherwise, though we might be providing some feedback to that person who is not like preaching properly and then making a mess, though we are doing it for their own benefit, if you don't do it properly, that is going to make that person like upset, or that is going to hinder in their like progress. So we need to be very, very careful when we provide any kind of feedback to anybody. I think in, I don't know, probably like several months back, in one of the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we discussed about how to give feedback to somebody. Before we provide any suggestion, even if it is scripturally, like, you know, like strong suggestions or scripturally valid suggestions, we need to, like, you know, like ask ourselves four questions. First question is, am I the right person to give that particular feedback? Am I a person in the authority? For example, if somebody who is a, like, pujari, or somebody who is a cook or temple resident, if they are doing something, the temple president as the authority, or the head pujari, or the temple commander, like that, you know, there are people who have the authority to correct, because that is their duty. So those people, they can make those corrections, because by the power vested in that particular authority, they are going to be, that power is going to, or that is going to protect them, because they have the power vested in them. Even though the other person might take it wrongly, they are not going to be, like, you know, incurring a lot of these reactions. So that is the first question we have to ask. Are we the right, like, am I the right person to correct such and such, like another devotee? If the answer to that first question is no, then we don't even, like, proceed further. And if the answer to the first question, am I the right person, if the answer is yes, I am the right person, then we ask the second question. Is it the right time to give this, like, feedback? So somebody might have did, let's say, like, you know, somebody might have spent 5 hours mopping and sweeping the temple floor so nicely, and after them spending so much of effort in that particular service, and I can come and say that, oh, Giridhari Prabhu, there is one little particle of dust, like, you know, which you skipped. You cannot even see this, Prabhu, like, you know, like, what kind of service you are doing? So anyway, I'm not picking on Giridhari Prabhu, he is sitting so close to me. So like, you know, like often the tendency is that, like, you know, the person is going to be frustrated. What is this? I did not even eat my breakfast, and I did not do this and that and this, and I spent 5 hours kneeling on, like, you know, kneeling and then mopping and sweeping the entire temple floor. I have back pain, I have knee pain. Despite all these physical discomforts, I wanted to do the service, and the devotee, only thing he can see is that small particle of dust, not, like, in a huge pot of dust which I threw, like, outside. So that is going to be the, like, you know, like, often we have that defensive mentality inbuilt. Like, you know, the defensive mentality is so inbuilt within us, so that is going to come out. So we need to ask the second question. Is it the right time? So we need to know what is the right time to provide the feedback. So if the answer to the second question is also yes, then we ask the third question. Do we know the right method? Do we know the right method to provide that feedback? Because we might have the right, like, in, like, everything, like, in the right time, and we might be the right authority. If we don't know the right method, if we start, like, you know, yelling at somebody, what is this, you are not doing this, like this, then that person is going to be so taken back, and maybe you will not even see them again in the temple, and they will not even do any more temple, like, floor cleaning. What is this? Only if I am going to be cleaning the temple floor, somebody is going to tell me that this is not done properly, so let me not do it. So we are going to now doing a disservice by taking that person away from serving the Lord. So the answer to the third question also should be, like, yes. Yes, I know the right method. And if those three questions are answered, then we ask the final question. Do I have the right intention? We might be, like, you know, the right person, we might have the right time, and we know the right method, but my intention is, maybe, like, you know, one day, like, Giridhari Prabhu might have said, like, you know, you did this, so like, you know, whatever you did is not correct. Now, today I'm going to get at Giridhari Prabhu, because like, you know, 3 months back he chastised me. Now I have the chance. Like, you know, like, we just use a big, like, you know, microscope or like, you know, magnifying glass and keep on looking at a particular person, trying to see when that person is going to make a mistake so that I can jump in and correct that person. Because my intention is not to assist that person to move closer to Krishna. My intention is to get even. If, like, you know, so we need to have the right intention. The intention is that, can I assist this person somehow to improve their service to Kishore Kishori or their spiritual master, so that they can go closer to Krishna? So only, like, if the answer to all the four questions are going to be yes, 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 and yes, then we can even think about offering any suggestion. So that is kind of the, I don't know, the initial part of the, like, answer. I did not even, like, answer your question yet. So we need to be, like, the reason why I want to point out this is that often the tendency is to offer correction to, like, everybody other than, like, our own selves. We might be doing the same thing, but we think that when we offer correction to somebody, when we are doing the same mistake, we are being duplicitous, right? So, like, often we tend to be, like, you know, much more severe with, like, others, and that is not going to, like, help us. Because if the other person is not going to take it properly, they are going to be moving, like, away from Krishna, or we might commit offenses. They are going to, like, you know, we are going to be, like, affecting ourselves. And if we are not strong, then we, do these kind of things, like, you know, like, offering suggestions to, like, each and everybody we see, because we are, like, very compassionate. We are going to be doing disservice to ourselves by committing, like, Vaishnava aparad. Now Kishore Kishori is not pleased. Then instead of assisting the other person, that is the intention, we are not even assisting ourselves. So we should not, like, you know, get ourselves entangled in those. But in terms of how we can, like, provide like correction to those who we might observe that they are not doing preaching properly, is, like, almost always the answer is that, like, you know, we are going to pray to Kishore Kishori. Because just by our own endeavor, just by our own tiny intelligence, which is mainly, like, you know, material intelligence, we cannot, like, you know, provide a very nice feedback. But before we offer any feedback to others, if our mood is that, if we pray to the Lord, my dear Lord, this is my intention. I want to assist this person because I again and again see them getting, like, you know, involved in a particular activity where they are moving people away from Krishna in the name of preaching. But I do see that they are very enthusiastic. Please give me intelligence so that I can tell them in a nice manner so that they are not going to be offended. And that is going to help them in moving closer to you. That is my intention. Can you please give me the intelligence to do that? When we approach it in that prayerful mood, like, you know, Krishna says, from him, like, you know, he is the one who gives the knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. He will tell us what is the right, like, method. Are we the right person? Like, you know, what is the right tone? Right, like, you know, all those, like, we need to use. So, like, often when we are going to be approaching it in the prayerful mood, then it is going to, like, work, like, almost always. I'm saying almost always because it depends upon the purity of our, like, you know, like, prayer. If externally we are going to say yes, I will, because I heard in the class we need to be, like, you know, saying some prayer, so let me say some prayer. But if you are not really meaning that, then it is not going to like work, because the Lord is going to reciprocate based on like our like desire. Hope it is okay, Mataji. I did not really like address, because this is address your question so directly, but I try to address little bit, because this is a like big like topic. I don't want to like go really deeper.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm wondering about this point of that we're all dependent. That we all have to take shelter ultimately of like senior devotees. You're making the point. I'm wondering how this is done practically, because it seems like although you have to be completely dependent on senior devotees, you also at the same time have to be completely independent, in the sense that you can't just be like a baby, like where you don't make your own decisions, or so it seems a little bit like contradictory to me that you can't just be completely dependent at the same time. Like on one level you have to be dependent like spiritually, like in through like shiksha instructions and spiritual knowledge, but in the one sense you can't be dependent, because you have to be an individual person and you have to fly your own plane, as they say, as it said. So
yes, Prabhu. So when we say dependency, it is not like the dependency of a like a child. We need to be willing to take instructions from higher authorities. So that is the dependency. We cannot expect our spiritual master to, the spiritual master might say that, like, you know, when there is, or like, you know, let's say a parent might say for a child who is going to the school, whenever you cross the road, be careful. You are not going to cross the road, like, you know, whenever there is, if the traffic light is not on and things like that, they might give some instruction. But still the child is, like, you know, especially when the child is, like, you know, grown up a bit, the expectation is that the child is going to follow those instructions. We cannot expect the mother or father to keep on holding the hand of the child. Like, you know, I cannot expect my mother to come and, like, you know, keep on holding my hand, crossing the traffic light and that and this and whatnot. So we are not talking about that kind of dependency. We are talking the dependency meaning that we need to be depending on the instructions. We need to receive instructions and we need to depend on the mercy of the devotees and the Lord. Because only a small part is like our spiritual progress, only small part of our spiritual progress is going to be made based on our own endeavors. Our endeavors are going to give us only like little bit of progress, but the mercy component is going to take us like in like so far, like, you know, it is going to be taking us to like much and much like higher levels. So when we say dependency, we are talking about depending on the descending mercy of the Lord. We need to learn to like we need to depend on the descending mercy of the Lord. But at the same time, we need to understand that I do need to, what is the easiest way to attract the mercy? By sincerely following, sincerely like, you know, taking like, you know, like carrying out some endeavor based on the instructions we received, I'm going to be doing this. If my spiritual master told me that you make the decision, then we know that, okay, my spiritual master asked me to make the decision about this particular service which I'm about to take on. What is going to be pleasing to my spiritual master? If I'm going to be like very carefully analyzing both the like positives and negatives of different services or different approaches we are going to take, if we are going to be so thoughtful in analyzing and then we present it to the spiritual master, my dear spiritual master, you asked me to make a determination, so I very seriously thought through all of them, and these are the positive things and negative things which I can think. So based on this, I feel that this is the approach I ought to take. Do you like agree, or do you have like any other like, you know, like suggestions? Though this is the conclusion I came up with, but I am willing to take the opposite direction if you ask me to take. But on my own, I came with this. I did not whimsically come up with some solution. I carefully thought through it, and these are the solutions I'm putting forward in front of you. Can you please guide me? Then the spiritual master is going to be like, you know, like pleased, instead of us like, you know, keep on going to the spiritual master each and every time. Can I use a spoon to eat, or do I need to use like, you know, my hand to eat, or for each and every little thing we don't want to like bother the spiritual master. But at the same time, we need to be very careful, because the tendency of being independent minded is very, very strong. So like, if we think that, oh, like, you know, like I don't want to bother my spiritual master, I don't want to bother my spiritual master, initially it might be like good thing, the intention might be that I don't want to bother my spiritual master, later on that is going to become make our independent nature stronger and stronger. Then we will think that, oh, I know what I am doing. Like, you know, so for the last so many years, I did not get like, you know, the instructions from my spiritual master. I've been okay. We think that we are okay. Most probably we might not be okay. So that is also is there. So there is a delicate balance. So we need to get instruction, and we need to depend on the descending mercy. But at the same time, we are not, it doesn't mean that we become more like robots. Like, you know, if somebody says, you turn right, without even asking, why I ought to turn right, or is it the right thing to do? So we need to be independently thoughtful. But we cannot be independent. We need to depend on the mercy of the Lord and His devotees, but we need to be independently thoughtful about consequences of like our own like action, because it is a learning process. It is like a child. A child is going to like, you know, the ability of the child to walk is there in the child. But the child has to try. The child has to learn to walk. When the child is going to like, you know, walk for the first time, the child is going to fall down. Maybe first 1,000 times or 100 times or whatever it is, the child is going to like, you know, stand up. He or she will try to walk and fall. That is how we learn. So if we learn by that way, we are going to be, that is going to stay like stronger. It is going to stay for a longer period of time, instead of somebody telling, you do this, without us even like asking why we have to do in this manner. If it's simply blindly following, our faith is going to be like, you know, very like weak. Unless we get loads and loads of mercy, faith is going to become like pretty like weak. But if we are independently thoughtful, okay, like I tried this and that and that, and I know what is the consequence. Then we will, hopefully, if we have the first class intelligence, we will not go through activities which is going to have negative consequences. So that is the reason it is important for us to be independently thoughtful. But it doesn't mean that we are like independent. We still need to be dependent. But again, it doesn't mean that we ask the spiritual master or the spiritual preceptor to keep on holding our hand 24 hours a day. Is that okay, Prabhu? Okay, anything else?
We want to discuss the bars in the translation. It has been mentioned that that Devayani was very upset and by the behavior of her husband, you know. So how she felt, you know, hard-hearted, you know. So by the behavior of her husband. So this is the life actually in this material world. We cannot expect any good relationship in this material activity. Like sometimes we appreciate, you know, our husband, our wife so much so that, you know, as if whole world belongs to her, you know. So next moment we fight each other, like, you know, cat and dog. Prabhupada used to say, we fight like cat and dogs. Like a dog, he has given example of Srila Prabhupada, that you see dogs, puppies, see, the kids of the dog, you know. Dog is very affectionate to his pups, you know. They play, very different way they keep on playing, you know. But as soon as you put one piece of bread, you know what happened? They will fight anything, like even mother will fight with kid, their dogs or pups. So this is the material world actually. So even though King Jajati had saved Devajani from the whale, you know, when she was in very much danger, okay? So now she is forgetting and she is very arrogant because of, you know, there are this behavior. She is running away. So this is I want to share. Another regarding to, what is that called? Nice thing came to mind. That Giridhari Prabhu's question for dependence and independence. Actually, in fact, we are all dependents when we are in spiritual world, in Krishna's mercy. Because we showed our independence nature, that is why we are here. We are thrown out from that position. So always dependency is best. Our dependency on mercy, whatever you say, mercy of Krishna or mercy of Guru and everything. But independence nature is never accepted in under any circumstance. Once you will show that, exhibit that, you will fall down, you will be thrown out from your position. That's what we are suffering here in material world.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Okay, thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki Jai.